Basketball fans, what is up? And welcome to the All Basketball Podcast. It's just your host, Maurice Dixon, once again, this time with another session of the last 10 in the NBA, and specifically the season finale of the last 10 since, yes, folks, most teams only have three games remaining. Teams playing tonight will be hitting the 70th game mark of the 2023-2024 season, so playoffs are right around the corner. It's obviously because it's April. College basketball champions were crowned as far as South Carolina for the women and Connecticut for the men's. The Huskies being the first team to go back-to-back since Florida in 2006 and 2007, and also joining Duke 91-92 with back-to-back titles. But yeah, so like I said, playoffs are right around the corner, so this is the season finale for the 2023-2024 season of the last 10 in the NBA. And should have been more, but for reasons I won't get into. But we got three sessions. This will be the third session. And right now, let's just look at some of the hottest teams. Hottest team, longest win streak right now is Dallas. The Sixers. Philadelphia, six straight, 7-3 in their last 10. Got Embiid back not too long ago. He came out looking pretty much like Joel Embiid, maybe a little fatigued at times, but looking like himself as he should. Hitting the mid-range, being effective on the pick and pop, probably doing some foul hunting, but shooting plenty of free throws. But he's back. Sixers got their full squad intact, far as I know. So currently sitting at 45-35, seventh in the East. Just a few more games left. Could maybe catch Indiana, replace Indiana, Cleveland, or Orlando. Or long shot, but maybe even the Knicks. Still some shuffling going to be going on, but Philly trying to get back above that seventh spot and sixth or better. Avoid that extra game or games in the play-in. And so, team obviously rolling, six straight wins. And just right there behind and just barely ahead of Miami, who's 6-4 in their last 10. And Chicago, Atlanta, won't be able to make it to the top eight. They're secured in their spots in 9th or 10th. And it really doesn't matter because even if, say, Atlanta was to get 9th, if they lost, they're still out. So Chicago and Atlanta will be playing for a play-in spot, trying to continue to move up and beat whoever loses the 7th and 8th seed game. But Chicago and Atlanta, one of them definitely going home. Last night, Chicago had one of the silliest plays probably in the history of their franchise when, was it Torrey Craig, I'm pretty sure it was, decided to go off the backboard on a fast break, and Drummond, he tried to catch the alley too for some reason, and it was a Shaq and the Fool moment. An easy basket was clearly not had, and who were they playing? Other team went the other way and possibly score, but it's one of the more foolish things we've seen the NBA this season. We've seen James Harden play defense on offense against Kawhi Leonard. And now you have Craig and Drummond with his silly play. Yeah, they went on to lose to the Knicks. Brunson had 45 in that game. I guess those guys just can't wait to go on vacation because it's coming soon. The grind of a long NBA season is coming soon for this team and many other bad teams. But get back on topic to the last 10 standing in conference. You got Indiana's won 3 straight. And with that, with Philly being the hottest team in the conference, mentioned Cleveland, they're one of the colder teams, currently sitting in 5th, but 3-7 in their last 10, losers of 3 straight. Went down. Paul George, he worked his tail off, dribbled, took so many dribbles, but managed to shake Evan Mobley and hit probably the first game win of his career that I can pretty much remember. He's missed a whole lot. If he hasn't made one already, that was one I definitely can remember on hand. And he sunk that big shot, had a big game. So that was one of Cleveland's recent losses. So they're sitting at 46-33. Got everybody back in the lineup, to my knowledge. So, but 3-7 in the last 10, could very well slip down into that 7th spot. And then you have above them, Orlando, not playing well in their last 10, 5-5, lost their last contest. And then even though Milwaukee's still sitting in 2nd, a 48-31 record overall, 4-6 in their last 10, just barely above 500, if I'm correct, 16-15 under Doc Rivers since he took over for Adrian Griffin. So they haven't been able to get on a run, they went to the All-Star break bad, then came out, had like a 6-game winning streak. And then before that win, they had lost like 3 or 4 straight. So 4-6 in their last 10. And even more disturbing news last night is they were handling Boston at home. Just running up the court. Giannis went down, no contact. Wasn't even at a full sprint. And grabbed the back of his calf. They reported there was a calf strain, said he avoided any damage to his Achilles, possibly a partial tear or close to a tear. So, and if they're telling the whole truth. I know people, when the report came out about the calf strain, my eyes kind of rolled. I kind of shook my head like, I remember back in 2019 when Durant had the same injury against the Rockets in the West Finals when he was playing with Golden State. Then he came back and ended up tearing his Achilles. But they said calf strain. He left in a boot after that game. Now, Giannis didn't leave in any. He did walk off on his own power. He left the arena without a. He didn't have a boot on when he came out when cameras were able to get some footage of him. So. They're saying the strain. Guess we have to take their word for it. But I mean, with stuff like that, it just doesn't look good. I mean, if you watch basketball long enough, and I've watched quite a number of games, college and NBA level, and when you see, especially in the NBA, when you see guys just go down like that or look back, like what's going on? I saw Kobe go down. Saw Durant. I remember when Shaq said it felt like somebody kicked him. I don't know if he said anything about what happened to him, but not real optimistic for the Bucks. And they haven't been playing well, so don't want to use this as an excuse, but if they go out, it kind of may sum up how things have been going bad, or it kind of gives them a legitimate or understandable reason to just not say it didn't work. They can just use the injury excuse, if you want to put it that way. It just is a more acceptable excuse. Like, just a franchise player went down, even though we got Dame Lillard. Middleton was back pretty healthy. Team had already been struggling. Now you get this, so those expectations go down even much more, and they probably increase for a team like Boston, who's the only team who's going to have more than 60 wins this season, and have just been ahead of the conference, out in front of the conference by so much. Currently 62-17. Everybody's healthy. Boston is 7-3 in their last 10, so 35-3 at home. So, because Milwaukee was picked earlier to probably more than likely challenge the Celtics. You always had that threat of the Heat. Some say Philly. I'm not, unless Embiid shows me something different in these playoffs. He gets over the hump of dropping off statistically as far as shooting percentage and not getting as many fouls called as he would like, doing a lot of foul hunting the refs aren't going for. Point production goes way down. So unless he changes something up, and plus he hasn't been healthy, he's just come back, so he's probably as healthy as he's going to get now. So hopefully he stays that way, but don't know how much you can really trust them with the injury threat always there with Embiid, injury issue, and he hasn't performed well the deeper he gets into the playoffs, and he still has yet to get to a conference finals, but that could all change this year. But the East doesn't have as much drama or intrigue as how things are going to play out as far as the West, but upsets could be in store. We'll see if just Boston just rolls through and handles their business and gets back to the NBA Finals. Now out West, a couple of teams pretty hot. Now that's hot. I'm gonna say the Mavericks currently sitting in fifth, 49-30 record. Winners of the last four, 9-1 in the last 10. So Luka's been throwing up triple doubles. Him and Kyrie, total for nearly 80 points game before last, maybe. And with those new additions, they brought in Gafford and PJ Washington. They seem to have the right amount of cohesion at the right time of the season. So, climbed out of that play-in area. So sitting at fifth, just behind the Clippers, who are at fourth, wins the fourth straight, 7-3 in their last 10. So, but they have some issues as well as far as health again. Like I mentioned earlier, Paul George having a big game, hitting that shot to beat Cleveland. But during this whole streak, Kawhi Leonard has been out with some knee issues since the beginning of the month. So said he already left the road trip and was expected to be back, but hasn't been back. So it's just like deja vu. I mean, even though he got to the playoffs last year and they met Denver, he played two games, then that was it. In the series against Denver in the second round, and now he's having issues again with his knee. Like, it's just the same thing, and he's got a new contract, so he just seems to keep getting hurt at the most inopportune times. I won't say she'll retire or anything, but this is just the expectation you have to, that comes with them now. Just one of those guys who can't stay healthy. And the Clippers have been doing pretty good of late, but after they had a nice run early in the season, when they finally worked things out with the addition of Harden and putting Westbrook going to the bench, they were on quite a tear, but now they've cooled off some, and then you have the issue with will Kawhi be available? And at this point in the careers, I mean, Paul George has been a shaky playoff performer. Even shakier is James Harden. And yeah, Westbrook will take over, but he's just not efficient enough. Definitely not at this stage of his career. So not looking too bright once again for the Clippers, despite being playing well in their last 10 as the season comes to a conclusion. Top of the West, Minnesota currently sitting first, 8-2 in their last 10. Denver 7-3. And they have a clash tonight on ESPN, which I'll be tuning into to see. They have identical records, so it'll be play a huge part maybe who gets the first seed. Or we'll see if the Thunder can get back up there. I know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams just returned to the lineup. So, and they managed to win two straight, even though they're 5-5 in their last 10. So still a lot of jostling, shuffling of teams in the standings in both conferences. But the play-in spots aren't clinched yet. But right now, Phoenix will play Sacramento for the 7th seed, and then the Lakers will play Golden State for the winner go home, and then whoever wins that will play the loser of Phoenix and Sacramento. So, and the Kings have been the worst of those teams in their last 10. Got some key injuries. I know Malik Monk is out. Hurt has been out for a while. They do have the Lakers' edge, but I'm not sure how they stack up against Phoenix. And the Lakers lost last night, their second straight, but they're 7-3 in their last 10. In Golden State, one of the more harder teams, 8-2 in their last 10. Shot the lights out last night at some. Let's see if I can find that. They hit some record as far as three-pointers made against the Lakers last night. I know, I think Draymond went 5-5 from three, which is something that probably hasn't happened in a long time or ever for him. They end up pretty much blowing out LA. The Lakers didn't have Anthony Davis though, so you can take that how you wish, how you like. LeBron 33, Klay Thompson 27. And it was, so those teams could be looking at a potential matchup again in a few days. I think the play-in starts around the 16th, because this coming Friday, all 30 teams will play. They have a break on Saturday, and then the season will be closed out with all 30 teams playing again, and that'll be your season. NBA season, and we'll see what the playoffs will be looking like as far as once the plan is concluded, then we'll get for certain what the matchups will be and see who falls into a bad matchup, who falls into a favorable matchup. and see how some of these teams who were new at the top, like Minnesota, OKC, how they are there to match up against some of these older veteran teams who were just hadn't had a great season, see if they have the matchup against the Lakers or the Warriors, and how much playoff experience may come into effect there. So it's all about seeing who stays healthy down the stretch. It's hate to see guys go down and everything like that. You want fully healthy rosters going to the playoffs, and you want even matchups, but history of the game and just the fact this and it's their cost when it comes to athletics and playing basketball, physical costs and everything. We don't live in a perfect world, so everything we're not gonna most of the time get perfectly healthy teams and perfect matchups and everything just right for certain teams to have a fair shot match up equally. So NBA's always been that way, and it's going to continue to be that way. It's just the negative side of basketball. So you just have to, guys going to just have to grow what they got. Other guys going to have to step up and see how everything plays out, because it's playoff time, no back-to-back. So all the load managing and sitting out, it will be over. I mean, it's money time. It's time where incentives might come into play, and you're going to get competitive basketball at the highest level. As far as competition, is going to be highly competitive. No more going through the motions. I mean, it's pretty much like the slogan, like the cliche goes, win or go home, even though it'd be a series. But so, so I want to get to one other thing as far as the NBA Hall of Fame stuff just came out, class of 2024. I want to talk about a couple of players I seen play. Good for Simone Augustus, WNBA, saw her hoop quite a bit for the Lynx. Nice, smooth game, heck of a player. So she's going in. Then never really see Michael Cooper, but he finally got in. Neither Walter Davis really either. I know he played for the Tar Heels. But he finally gets in. But and speaking of Tar Heels, glad for Vince Carter getting in. As far as my opinion, it's no question. Some people out there saying if you have to ask the question, then a guy really isn't a Hall of Famer. But hey, man, Vince was exciting. Many people probably say a lot of Hall of Fame moments, which I agree. But he did a lot for the league financially. When Kobe was at his peak, T-Mac, Vince Carter was right there, dunking over all the big shot blockers, Mutombo, Mourning, Theo Ratliff, Dallin Bear, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, whoever got in the way. I mean, those from that short 99 season to until about, and this time, most, a good amount of his time with the Nets. I mean, especially those first few years with the Raptors. I mean, Vince was, must see, man. I mean, I hate that the one time I tried to go see him, he ended up getting hurt. Went to a Hornets game and they were scheduled to play the Raptors and he was hurt, man. It was, we just sitting there, arena not full, you pay for the ticket. And this was before social media, anything like that. So you just get there and you find, oh man, Vince hurt, dang. Well, we're here with Miles. We'll try to enjoy the game. Maybe it'd be a good game, but it just wasn't the same with him not being there. But greatest dunker of all time, definitely. I mean, jumped over Vice in the Olympics, windmills off 1 foot, just known to execute a perfectly crafted windmill, spin the other way, turn the other way for 360 dunks. I mean, just completing all the dunks, had a not much wasted dribble, quick first step, then just take off like he was jumping off a trampoline, like springs were in his legs. I mean, when he was healthy, with those shocks, those purple and gray and black shocks he had on with the Raptors. I mean, eclipsed 20,000 points. Yeah, he played 22 seasons. That brought his scoring average down some, unfortunately. Eight-time All-Star. Seemed like it was more. He was an All-Star more than that, but definitely those first few years. But I mean, half man, half amazing, as Kenny Smith stated. Put the nickname on him, and it stuck. And did amazing things at Carolina too. I mean, big dunks against Duke, Clemson, NC State, just unbelievable stuff. I mean, came right out the gate. And when he got drafted in the lottery and they traded, swapped him and Jameson, sent Jameson to Golden State and sent Vince to Toronto, I just knew Vince Carter was going to do special things in the NBA, and I called it right on him. It had a huge effect as far as a lot of guys you see now and have seen in the past from Canada. Great documentary out there. I know they took it off Netflix called The Carter Effect, but kind of explained it, but had a huge impact as far as basketball taking off in Canada, because a lot of the guys who you see now today in the NBA, they relate back to, one of the guys they relate back to is Vince and his time in Toronto when he was just doing amazing things at the Air Canada Center. So a lot of people don't agree, some do, but Vince Carter, definitely a Hall of Famer. Won the Rookie of the Year in 99. Too many Hall of Fame moments not to put in the Hall of Fame. And I know Kawhi led Toronto to their only title. DeRozan and Lowry had a nice playoff run and tenure in Toronto, but Vince Carter, greatest Raptor of all time. No doubt. And the other guy who gets in, and I've seen a lot of Mr. Big Shot, Chauncey Billups. NBA career didn't start off the best. Drafted by Boston Lottery, third pick. I think 97 draft, moved around a lot. Then landed in Detroit. Ended up going to like 5-6 straight Eastern Conference Finals, 2 straight NBA Finals. Won the one where they beat the fielding Lakers with Shaq and Kobe. And the older Malone and Peyton joined the gang, and LA managed to get into the because of that crazy shot Fisher hit against San Antonio with like 0.4 left. He made that crazy shot, prepared the Lakers into the finals, and even all the stuff Kobe was going through with his rape case. And got there in Detroit, Billups led him 5 games. Rasheed Wallace played big, Ben Wallace, Prince playing good defense, Rip Hamilton, net and jumpers. Just a great collective unit. Nobody else is in the Hall of Fame at the moment. Ben Wallace did get in, but like no top 50, no top 75 players on that team. Just an outlier of a team, that 04 Pistons team. And Billups got MVP, just eating Gary Payton up that series. And they pretty much, that was the end of the Kobe and Shaq dynasty. A lot of people don't look at it that way, but Billups was a big part of that. Lakers didn't win that title. They were heavily favored to win that title, didn't win, and Kobe and Shaq were feuding, and the Lakers decided to stick with Kobe. They traded Shaq to Miami, so. And they were, the Pistons were a game with from becoming back-to-back champions, but Tim Duncan and Ginobili Orr made that big game-changing shot in Detroit. And the Pistons couldn't win two. They won game six back in San Antonio. Billups played a big part in that, but couldn't get game seven. I mean, Duncan was just too much, but that team made back-to-back finals. Wasn't that aesthetically pleasing as far as offense, but played a heck of a lot. Lockdown defense was legit. I mean, the stranglehold was real. In some games, they didn't score enough to make it look pretty, but, and it may be a time period the NBA kind of wants to forget with so much focus on offense after that, and that team not really having any true stars or marketable stars, but, well, good for Mr. Big Shot. Also played a nice role to help Denver get to the West Finals, Carmelo, and before they were 0-9, I think, before they got knocked out by the Lakers. Let me see anything. And Billups, what, 89% free throw shooting percentage, is the sixth best in NBA history. So something else notable for his career. And I mean, dude was just clutch. I mean, just got the name Mr. Big Shot because he started hitting big shots. And I guess his career is a testament to some guys who don't start out well, the team that drafts them, things don't go well, and you get moved to another team because he played for the Nuggets too. And maybe somebody else within that time frame, but landed in Detroit and got with Larry Brown, the right group of guys, and it worked out. So it's a testament to some guys who are drafted in the lottery, drafted high, and they don't hit big right away. Everything doesn't click right away, but after a while, then they get to a spot and it works out. So those stories are still out there. So even though guys come in so young and everybody's coming in so young, so some people just get tossed aside and never get a good chance, but it's just survival of the fittest. It is what it is. I mean, can't wait all day. I mean, and we just look for a younger prospect and just keep it moving. So you just have to really grind and can't rest on your laurels and keep pushing, and maybe it'll break through. But good for all those nominees, future inductees. Don't have an issue with them. That's pretty much the latest news I want to focus on, folks. Like I said, waiting to see how things will play out. This is the season finale of the last 10 in the NBA. Hope you enjoyed. Once again, I'm Maurice. As you well know, remember, and just thanks for watching this episode of the last basketball, of the All Basketball Podcast, specifically the last 10. Please subscribe on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts if you haven't already. Until next time, peace and be blessed in Jesus' name.